Hello and welcome to the S-Words Mailbag, kind of a spin-off segment that we're going to be doing about the letters and comments you supply to the S-Words podcast. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
And introducing one of our friends from Berkeley when we attended college, we have Chris Nguyen with us. Chris?
Hello. I'm Chris Nguyen. I know these guys since college.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what Albert said when he was introduced.
Danny didn't say that, which is funny because he doesn't remember college. He just remembers the arcade.
Yeah, that was a really good episode, at least in terms of us remembering what was going on. So just clarifying that Chris and Dom both have the same last name. They are not related.
We're not related, except for in the Brotherhood of Gentlemen.
Anyways, we're going to go straight into the mailbag. We got quite a lot from you guys. Actually, Dom, do you want to go over our very first email?
Our very first email is from Chris Kushner, who writes, I realize it's probably corny and already been suggested and rejected, and is probably horribly inappropriate, but I think you ought to change the topic for the 14th to sex in honor of Valentine's Day. The funny thing about that is, we had Johnny Young Bosch on for Valentine's Day, and he pretty much is sex in vocal form, so I'm pretty happy with what we got.
Yeah, we actually talked about sex as a potential topic. We're usually trying not to go explicit. We actually considered the idea of what we were going to do an episode about sex and not talk about sex at all the entire time.
That's probably going to be what's going to happen, exactly what's going to happen. The topic will be about sex, and I'll talk about robot games.
All right, so let's go straight into our second email. This is from Kat Smith, and she writes, just finished listening to the podcast. Great job. Anyways, I have some suggestions. I am assuming you all will be doing a Simpsons episode at some point in time, so I'm not going to even suggest it, but I think I already did, so that defeats the purpose. Well, very good, Kat. We are planning to do a Simpsons episode. I believe we are going to be doing it on the 14th of March. It's replacing St. Patrick's Day because really I don't know what else we're going to be talking about for that kind of a topic.
Especially since I can't drink.
Yeah, neither can I.
I'm pretty much the only one here right now that can drink beyond 4 or 5 bottles of beer.
Yeah, Chris over here is Pukey McPukingstein.
Yeah, actually, Chris, I just gave you a beer earlier.
And my face was red as a beet.
Yeah, I saw it.
I was wondering. I thought you were crying when I walked in here. Your eyes were all red. I'm like, has Flower been making you cry? Have you been having a hair-plucking contest?
Such a touching game.
A touching game is Quiz Magic Academy, according to Danny.
In case you guys are confused, the game we were just playing was Flower for the PlayStation 3. I just had Chris play through the entire thing. And we'll get into that more later on in this episode. Kat, you also wrote in that you were suggesting songs to wear pants to, which I checked out the website, and it's a bit more obscure, but we might consider it a few years down the line. We have quite the backlist of things we've already kind of picked.
We pretty much have it through December with only a few open spots.
There's also socks, which you also mentioned. I know that there are a lot of socks that can be talked about. I only wear white socks. I don't know what else there is.
I wear black socks.
I wear white socks.
And together we fight crime.
Yeah, maybe some more clarification on the socks. I'm wondering what that's about. Are we talking about the wearable socks or the baseball teams? Anyways, also the last suggestion from Kat is something positive.
Which would unfortunately violate our ban against explicit content.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh.
Something positive is a webcomic out there.
Oh,
and,
that's right.
It's an interesting thing, but it's sometimes hard to read out loud.
All right. I was thinking of just, like, naming positive things.
That's like, what I would have thought, too.
You mean stuff.
Like protons.
All right. Thanks, Kat. We're definitely going to be doing The Simpsons, so you guessed it right there. Our next letter comes from Emily Lesmeister. Chris, you want to read that out?
Says, your podcast is amazing.
Keep going.
It's really funny, and it cheers me up.
Well, thanks, Emily. We love getting the very positive reviews of the podcast. We'll keep trying to do as best as we can for you. Dom, you want to go over the next email?
Next up is from Hakuryoku. Okay, guys. I've been a big fan of your podcasts. Love the episodes. Very funny. Love them. Suggestion, topic, the Stanley Cup. I think the possibilities for humor is endless. Sorry, that makes me think of the console wars is over. Anyway, sorry. Think about it. Big men skating on knives, swinging big sticks. And knowing that at least one of you watch hockey, it could be very entertaining. Maybe, but the hockey season is very long and the regular season is very boring. And so when it comes around to the Stanley Cup around, you know, early summer, then we might talk about it. But I don't think Kevin's even seen a hockey game in person before.
I've never seen a live hockey game. I've probably never seen a full one on television either. Lita knows a lot more about hockey than me, but that's because she used to go to Canada to visit friends there. As much as I know, hockey is a game on the Nintendo Entertainment System where you pick the fatty.
So anyway, that's what most of us are about hockey. I can talk about any sport for at least 3 hours, but I'm sure that you don't want to listen to just me, right? Right?
Chris, what's your experience with hockey? Do you think it's just soccer on ice?
Pretty much, and I know the name Wayne Gretzky, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. We're even from the Bay Area, and we don't even know anything about the beloved San Jose Sharks.
Hey, I love the Sharks.
I don't know anything about the Sharks.
Speak for yourself, exactly.
Yep. All right, our next letter comes from Stephen Carls. Why don't you read it out loud, Chris?
Hey, I think you have a pretty cool thing going on. My suggestion for a possible show is Serenity, the Joss Whedon film based on the Firefly series. The Browncoats are counting on you.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't think about this earlier on in our preliminary list. I know you've pretty much been converted over to the Firefly and Serenity crowd after seeing the movie, right, Dom?
I have a great story about seeing the Serenity movie. You see, Chris here, he put up the armrest between us, so at the end of the movie, I took that as a signal, and I turned to my right and said, "Chris, I never knew you cared," and I kissed him on my hand as hard as I could. It's hard to explain without actually demonstrating it.
No joke, that really did happen.
It's one of those stage kisses.
I totally forgot.
It's one of those stage kisses where you put your hand over his mouth and you kiss your hand.
So, whoa. I really thought he was going to hit my hand off first and then actually kiss me on the lips.
So anyway,
all three of us were at that same. We were there for
and
the
also,
very first.
It was
Friday.
Great. I was a huge dick inside that theater. At the end of the movie, I stood up and said, "Wow, that was a great movie. I think they should make a TV series about it."
Yeah.
So I'm not fully converted, but I do like Firefly. I did like Acts 1 and 2 of Dr. Horrible. I didn't really like his X-Men run that much. But we could do Serenity, we could do Shadowcat, both of those would lead into Whedon, and I would spend a lot of time talking to his wife if we, you know, got Joss Whedon and his wife on, because she's Asian in Hollywood. Remember
That's
how
true.
I made that reference to the song, "There's Nobody's Asian in Hollywood"? That's her.
All right, I'm actually a big fan of Firefly and Serenity, so I'm actually quite glad that you brought this up, Steven, and also glad that we also remember that wonderful story between Dom and Chris there.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yep.
Excellent show.
All right, so the next one comes from
No One's Girl from Twitter.
Oh my god, we're on Twitter? I totally forgot to keep mentioning that.
Yes,
I did.
We are S underscore words on Twitter, not at twitter.com. What am I thinking?
Yeah. S underscore words on Twitter. Yes, we are using Twitter.
I feel like I am one step away from being one of those really fat guys in WALL-E.
Well, yes, if you do finally want to find a way to contact Dom on Twitter, I figure this is pretty much the only way, right? You don't have your own account.
I don't have my own Twitter, and I don't plan on getting a Twitter.
So No One's Girl writes to us from Twitter. S-Words, you lot should do a podcast on San Francisco. It would be amazing. And since we are in the Bay Area, I did consider San Francisco before, but man, there's a lot of things to talk about in San Francisco.
Our Johnny Young Bosch interview was in San Francisco. Does that count?
Yeah, I was wondering about San Francisco before. We've been to San Francisco a lot of times, you know, going to like the Metreon movie theater, going to Japantown in San Francisco.
It's like saying you should do a podcast on life.
But I would love to do one on life.
Yeah, but it doesn't start with an S. It would be Slife, and we've already crossed that threshold with Sporn Games.
Ah, Sporn Games. Anyways, actually, we, at the end of this episode, are going to be doing our stuff segment, so that's pretty much like Slife.
That's probably true. All right, let's move on.
Thanks for the suggestion, No One's Girl.
Next up, we have one from L. Marvick 1.
This is the guy that wrote to us before on our first week.
I checked out your StarCraft podcast and once again enjoyed it. I heard the end where you quoted the feedback I sent off after the first podcast. I was surprised you liked that throwaway about Montana Clark Rice. But man, I owe you guys for reading that. I have finally been able to prove to my girlfriend that I'm not the world's biggest uber geek. Personal aside, that's probably me. By making her listen to that part of the podcast. I tell you, I felt like Leonardo DiCaprio standing on the bow of the Titanic for a while. Then she found her Valentine's Day gift where I had hidden it. Okay, she wanted a Nintendo Wii and a Wii Fit. Why is it wrong to get it for her for Valentine's Day? I don't know. Would chocolate have been better? Eh, can you give him a box of See's Candy? My view is I'm hosed with either choice, so I might as well have the Wii in the house to play with.
Actually, this is quite interesting. I actually wanted to go over this email because it talks about Valentine's Day and incorporating gaming with it, or actually skipping away from the whole box of chocolate thing. Me and Lita, we don't do the Valentine's Day thing. Pretty much Valentine's Day for us was waiting on Ticketmaster at 11:59 a.m. trying to get some Paul McCartney tickets in Vegas, which we did get. Floor seats, awesome. And I think this has been brought up on other tech shows before. Most people nowadays in the Bay Area, we're pretty much Valentine's Day is about getting a gift like a cell phone or something like that nowadays. I think the box of chocolate is gone, right?
My Valentine's Day involved getting you Johnny Young Bosch. That was my Valentine's gift to you.
Oh, that's true.
I was spent playing Gears of War 2 with a friend.
Gears of War 2 is a perfect Valentine's Day experience. Lita and I play Gears of War 2 together, and she loves it more than me. So, yeah, definitely cool beans, man, getting some games. I highly recommend it, too.
All right, here comes the next email from Fireball87.
Fireball!
Fireball! Japanese! Fireball! Sorry, that's a little too obscure for most of you, unless you played Street Fighter EX.
I tap my 20 mountains, you are dead.
All right, so anyway... That's a little more obscure. Is it more obscure or less obscure, Magic the Gathering?
Fourth edition, man! I was in middle school.
Alright, so anyway. Fireball87 says, while it may be obvious, like I know how you think, I don't even know how I think, I just want to request you to dedicate a few seconds to control preference and opinion for the Street Fighter topic. Whether American sticks, Japanese sticks, or favorite pads.
So this is actually kind of interesting. We were just talking about Street Fighter 4 before recording. Yeah, we're all going to be pretty much playing it, but I don't really know how I'm going to play it. I would love to get an arcade stick.
It's all about learning what you're comfortable with. If I had learned how to play certain games on a D-pad, I would be playing with a D-pad right now. What I'm going to be playing with is an arcade stick, because that's how I learned Street Fighter.
That's going to be the Dead or Alive 4 arcade stick, right? For 360?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely would go. I'm more of a gamepad person. I always play like Capcom vs. SNK2 on the PlayStation 2 controller, and that's
you use the D-pad on it.
Yeah, I use the D-pad on it.
Wow,
I'm decent with it too.
How can you work with that D-pad? It's terrible.
Arcade stick definitely doesn't work for me. Just,
all right. We don't judge here.
It usually feels like that's based upon where you started, really, right? Like if you start on the D-pad, then that's kind of how you're gonna go. I feel the same way when I talk to people that, although I play both, thumbsticks and keyboard and mouse for a lot of FPS shooters, I can do both, but some people just can't go off to the other one.
Oh, yeah. It's all about how you learn it.
All right, man, Fireball187, you predicted what we were going to be talking about just before the show, so congrats to you there, man.
It's not Fireball187, that's another L.
Oh, Fireball87, gotcha.
So this one's from Michael Henry. It says, because we all know Blizzard, the possibility of them actually releasing another StarCraft game within the next 20 years is minimal. And by that time, we will all be old and senile and won't care about video games anyways.
When I'm 70, I am totally going to be a video gamer.
Yeah, I think too, when I'm a lot older, I'm still going to play a lot of games. I probably won't have the coordination to take care of certain games, but I could still play Flower.
I could play Wii Bowling all day.
I can play Capcom vs. SNK2 all day.
So yeah, all you need to do is crouch as Sagat and hit Low Fierce. Anyway, sorry. I'm only a little bitter about that one.
Yeah, but actually I would think the same way. Sometimes I feel like if we ever do get StarCraft 3, it's not going to be 10 years after we get StarCraft II, even. Although, we don't know how long it's going to take for StarCraft II to finish up.
No, but they're showing us enough that, you know, we know that it's on the horizon. I mean, when they didn't have enough to show, they just didn't show us. And that was the last, you know, 5-10 years.
I wonder if they're ever actually going to go past 3 on some of these franchises. It feels, you always notice it feels really weird when a franchise goes to 4. Like, I'm already feeling kind of strange that Street Fighter 4 is...
Even though Street Fighter is almost as old as we are?
Yeah. Well, anyways, thanks, Michael Henry, and let's go straight into the next email.
Monica Blake has a few suggestions for us. She wants to say, I'll just jump right into it. First, Super Friends, Justice League of America, because they are so amazingly cool. Plus, I would like to once and for all settle a long-going debate about whether or not Aquaman lost one of his hands.
I remember when you first told me about the Aquaman losing his hand and becoming the water hand and then the spear, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Actually, we are pretty big comic book fans. Super Friends, I've never actually watched.
Solomon Grundy want pants too!
That's pretty much our experience with Super Friends that we remember.
I would love to actually use Super Friends as an excuse to go into the JLA, but I'm not so sure how we can actually do that.
We'll do it eventually. Everything will have its time. I mean, I love Justice League Unlimited, and I'd like to show it to you, so there you go.
No, I have Justice League. I've Justice seen League all of it. It's brilliant. Okay. I love it.
The first season of Justice League?
No. Unlimited.
Unlimited. There you go. All right. So anyway, we'll do it eventually. We'll find an excuse at some point. Maybe they'll make a Justice League movie, and then we'll be able to pull ourselves in that way.
God, I hope they don't make that movie.
I hope they don't either, but, you know, it'd give us an excuse to talk about these things. All right, next up. Sherlock Holmes, because British writing is sexy.
Well, there is a new Sherlock Holmes movie coming out this coming year with Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
And it would be literature.
Choice.
We need to do some more literature, man.
We do need to do literature.
All right.
Which is the exact opposite of her next suggestion, which is shoujo manga. Because you're all guys, and it's funny to hear guys talk about stuff like that.
I've actually read a lot of shoujo manga.
So have I.
Think you have too. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
Chris reads only shoujo manga.
What? I've actually seen some shoujo anime, which I actually really like.
And the thing is that, you know, I've been able to stop off at San Diego Comic Con, and one of the traditional things I do every Comic Con is I crouch down at the Studio Foglio booth, and I talk to Kaya Foglio about shoujo manga for a good 2-3 hours. There are entire shelves in my manga shelf that are pink.
Yeah, shoujo manga has actually been on our radar. It's not exactly on our list just yet, but one of the ones that is on my to-do list is Sailor Moon. And I think that would actually be pretty interesting because it could also lead into shoujo manga. Yeah, so look out for it.
Or it could lead into, you know, pedophilia, which is somewhere we don't want to go, but we could go there.
We did not just say that.
not the best ideas, but it would make me laugh. You know, honestly, we could talk about stupid and it would make anybody laugh. That's my honest opinion on this. We can just talk about whatever and it'll make somebody laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
We can talk about scrofula and it'll make people laugh, mostly because the word scrofula is fun to say. Scrofula.
Anyways, thank you, Monica. You've definitely hit some points that we have definitely been looking at, so look forward for some of that stuff later on. The next message we have is from a person that did not actually leave a name with their email, but their email was waking up from a dream about life. Anyways, I liked it. It was very entertaining. Nice anecdotes about college. Unfortunately, it gave me the urge to watch tons of Star League matches on YouTube, which wasted my entire day, so I got far behind on assignments. Overall, very good. Thanks. I await eagerly the day you do Sean Connery himself. So there are 2 points in this email. The first one being, we are very, very glad that you spent the time watching StarCraft matches on YouTube. I think it's a worthwhile thing. I've done that with my roommate for hours before.
It's more important than class.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I know that I actually flunked a summer course because I completely forgot that I had the summer course. And you know what I spent my time doing instead? I went to the arcade every day.
Yeah, it's when you're in college, you know, those things are right there. You might
do it while you can.
Yes,
do it while you can.
Entirely. When you have the time in college to do these things, that's it.
I heard in Korea that they actually have whole channels dedicated to matches.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like that. Yeah. Definitely.
It's an esports league, man. It's serious business.
Yeah, Dom didn't get to watch it because he had to watch the Olympics.
I'm bitter. Only a little bitter. All right. Coming from South Korea, actually, is our next mail. Whoa, wait. We have to talk about Sean Connery.
Yes, we do have to talk about... Damn, that would have been a great segue into the next email, but let's go straight back into Sean Connery. We do have his face plastered on the
S-Word website.
It's kind of surprising that Sean Connery is not on our to-do list, given
how influential impressions of him have been on the creation of this podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the thing is that Sean Connery is retired now, so we don't have very many excuses to talk about Sean Connery. I think the next excuse will be when the next James Bond movie comes out.
Even then, I feel kind of like...
What about the next Celebrity Jeopardy tournament? Yeah, you see, that's the problem. We'll have to find a dead week to do Sean Connery. And as you've seen, we're kind of short on dead weeks.
I would love to do the Sean Connery one. So it's not like a suggestion we're not going to look at. It's something I've been wanting to talk for a while. I've been waiting for when we start going into the movie topics. But yes, definitely we will be covering Sean Connery sometime in the future. Maybe, I would say, even on like 1 year anniversary for the show, maybe. I think that would be a good choice.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. It's on our radar. A lot of S-words are on our radar.
All right. So, speaking of Sean Connery.
Speaking of StarCraft, you mean.
I think he's heard of South Korea, so.
All right. That is such a terrible segue compared to the one we could have had. Come on, waking up from a dream about life. You got to work this better for us.
Next it's not up, his fault.
Next up comes an email from South Korea, from Daegu, from a man named Tam, or maybe a woman, I don't know. My favorite fighting game was always Tekken 3. Did you guys leave the Tekken series out because you forgot? Or do y'all think it just sucked? Well, you see, my first Tekken game was Tekken Tag Tournament for the PS2 as a launch game. And when we all played it at GamePro, we looked at it and we said, hey guys, after we're done with this game, can we go back to Soul Calibur? And that's how it worked.
I actually have no problem with Tekken. I just forgot. Especially since I was thinking more in the 3D range, 2D range, but I guess sometimes you guys went into Soul Calibur as well, but yeah.
And the thing about Tekken 4 was, watching Tekken 4 on a technical level was extremely boring, because it's all about people dodging around each other and jabbing.
I do like the bear.
And I see that the little dinosaur is on the comics shelf to my right.
Yeah, I've been reading Gon.
But yeah, Tekken Tag Tournament just isn't on our radar most of the time.
It's also one letter off.
It's a letter off.
Three times.
We'd have to figure out another way of saying Tekken. And Stekken? No. We can't do that. We can't do that forever. It's not going to work.
Stekken Stag's Tournament.
Oh, nice.
Anyways, I think it was mainly because we forgot Tekken.
And because most of us didn't play it as much as we played these other games.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like Tekken Bowling. I like Tekken 3. So, yeah, I didn't think it sucked.
So anyway, next up we have Mateo.
Of San Mateo? No.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, 3 episodes in and I feel like I've got a handle on what your show's format is like. We have a format?
We're working on it. I think we have more format in this episode than we've ever had in any previous one, and that's just a little bit of one.
So anyway, I'm enjoying it, and my only criticism is that they all hover around the 45-minute mark. Now, I guess it'd be hard to talk for an hour and a half on any one subject.
No way would that be hard.
And you don't need analog whole gaming length.
I have no idea what that means.
But I think that the show needs to be 50 to 100% longer.
That's why we're doing this mailbag.
I still haven't entirely gotten used to your voices yet, and to be honest, you all sound quite similar to my ear. Or at least, I don't have a name to go with each voice.
I'm Kevin!
I'm Dom!
And I'm Chris.
Well, you'll get used to us. You know,
we are working on that. I do sometimes feel like we do all sound the same.
All sound same.
All look same.
All Asian, right?
It's only racist when someone who's not Asian says it, by the way.
We're working on it, and especially in terms of the length. I actually didn't think people wanted the episodes to be that long, but I mean, hey, if you guys want it to be longer and us to actually go into more depth on some of these subjects, I think we'd be fine with it, really.
Especially if it's a subject that we actually like Street Fighter.
And also we'll be working on the show's format. Sometimes we just find it enjoyable to kind of go off on the tangents. Sometimes we even encourage it. So, yeah, with some extra length, we could totally kind of get back into staying on course for 50% of the time.
Anyway, super podcast. And keep up the good work churning out the episodes. Thanks.
All right.
So G-Dragon 1990 says, quite a simple... quite a simple suggestion, but I haven't seen it on your schedule yet. You guys should talk about Valve's Steam program or service for distributing games and its future current impact on the gaming industry.
I think out of the three of us here right now, am I the only one that uses Steam?
I downloaded Portal on Steam. That's the extent of it for me.
Haven't really used it very much.
All right. So, yeah, I think Steam is actually a good way into getting into Half-Life, Portal, a lot of those games. And also just talking about that kind of service in general, I was trying to figure out a way how we could actually talk about Half-Life. So I actually suggested Sierra Entertainment, but I think Steam is actually a lot more broad. We could talk about some of the other games that became really popular on there, like Audio Surf.
And we can talk about Hot Spring episodes in anime.
Oh, yeah, double meanings. Anyways, yes, definitely that is on our radar. So very, very, very big thanks to you, DDragon292.
Next up comes Chocobo, who says, Smash Bros, I like the idea of your podcasts. Interesting, though not always on topic, which has funny results.
I think we just completely forgot Smash Brothers because I think most of us think of it as a party game more than a fighting game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all I do is I play as Yoshi, eat people, and poop them out over the side.
Yeah, I'm terrible at Smash Brothers. I still will, you know, play it if other people are playing it, but I'm one of those guys that just doesn't really get into it very much. I think we will discuss this more when we do Shigeru Miyamoto sometime down the line.
Good old Shiggy.
But actually, yeah. Chris, do you play Smash Brothers a lot?
I played it a little bit, but I haven't actually played that much. It definitely doesn't play like a regular, you know, Street Fighter game. Which is what I grew up on.
So. We have stories about Smash Brothers, but they evolve, you know, like Patrick deciding that he needs to bang on the floor like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, we have a friend that decided that Donkey Kong is invincible if you just keep pressing down and B.
Anyway.
And then he did it in real life.
Anyways. Next up comes a comment on our website from Amp, who says, quote unquote, Third Strike is very balanced, paraphrased. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at this statement. Now, you see, it's a matter of perspective, because in Street Fighter Third Strike, the top tier was Yun Chun, otherwise known as Yun and Chun-Li. And, you know, you saw them a lot, but you also saw in tournaments, you saw Ken, because that was Umehara Daigo's character of choice. You saw Makoto, you saw Goki, you saw Dudley. You saw a decent spread of the top. Now, compare this to MVC2, also from Capcom, and pretty concurrent with it, where you only saw Storm Sentinel, Magneto, Cable, pretty much, out of their cast of lots. Compare that to Capcom versus SNK2, where you saw Sagat, and that was it.
Yeah.
And compared to that, this is a shining example of a game balance. It's no Guilty Gear, but it was more balanced than everything else. And that's all I have to say about that.
And then you don't have to do, and there's no infinite combos like there are in MVC2.
Unless you're Makoto and you're playing against Goki, then you just hit them until they die. But that's beside the point.
So, Chris, why don't you bring us the message from 047?
047 says, yeah, Guilty Gear is probably my favorite fighter. Well, and Super Smash Bros. Melee. Would have been interesting to hear you guys talk about that one.
Man, Smash Bros. Is on everyone's mind. We'll talk about it. It's got two S's in it. It's on the radar. It's not maybe as its own topic, but definitely with Shigeru Miyamoto. But actually, Guilty Gear. This brings us back to that.
Yeah, I love Guilty Gear, and I'm going to cover Guilty Gear again, hopefully, when Arc System Works. Oh, sorry, Axis brings over Blaze Blue. We'll get right back into it.
All right. Nick Tan writes in simply saying, in his title, Shmups.
Actually, the March 14th episode was going to be Shmups before it became Simpsons, because I am personally a very large Shmup fan. Radiant Silver Gun forever will be my favorite. Ikaruga will be my favorite versus fighting, versus shoot 'em up. But it'll come. It'll come. I mean, maybe it'll come around summer when the next Toho game comes out, if the next Toho game comes out. Or maybe it'll come when more shoot-em-ups are brought to Xbox Live Arcade. We'll find a reason.
Yeah, Shmups is on the radar for sure. We're definitely looking at that. Actually, we got one last comment, and Chris, why don't you mention that?
This is from R. There is actually a Cube podcast. It just doesn't follow the alphabet rule.
So I actually looked this up. The Cube podcast, it's not about topics that begin with the letter Q, but if you do Google for it, it's definitely a lot different than what we talk about. Anyways, let's go straight into a brand new segment we're trying to bring you guys. It's a bit more free range. And it was actually a joke when we originally were talking about it called Stuff. And this is basically a segment where we talk about what we've been playing, watching, listening to, all the usual things that a podcast goes over before diving into their subjects. Originally, I didn't think we were going to be doing this for our podcasts. I just thought we were going to go straight into our topics. But yeah, I guess this also helps differentiate each one of us a lot better. And also, I guess, you know, I like hearing when people say they're watching this show and it's great, you should check it out, because then I remember also to watch it, or that I just never heard about it before, and now I'm finally getting to experience it. So
Kevin, why don't you start us off?
So yeah, we actually went with a format called The Five. So we went with the five things that are occupying our free time lately. So yeah, I'm going to start off. I've actually been a big comic book reader, and I haven't watched anime in years. I used to watch a lot of anime. We were actually all in the same anime group in UC Berkeley, and so I've gotten back into reading manga. And I'm also really excited because I did pre-order a Kindle too, and going to be putting a lot of manga on there as well in the PDF format.
Very nice.
And so I've been reading Lone Wolf and Cub. I've only, one volume in, but I've been meaning to read it for a long, long time.
You should read Vagabond, too, while you're at it, because it's in a very similar space in terms of genre and stuff like that. And it's from the guy who did Slam Dunk.
Really?
Yeah, and his art got so much better for doing Vagabond.
Man, I actually love Slam Dunk. Not the anime for Slam Dunk, but I love the manga.
There's nothing wrong with loving Slam Dunk. Slam Dunk was great. Sorry. Go back to your list.
All right. No, that was it. Number five for me is manga, primarily Lone Wolf and Cub. And hey, if you guys got any suggestions for me to read, definitely let me know. I'm more of a guy that loves sports titles, I think. That and the usual stuff like Battle Angel, Alita, Blame, Berserk. Those are all starting with B, by the way. Anyways, going on to your number five, Dom, why don't you let us know about it?
My number five is Persona, which I just finished, so that's why it's not number one on the list. I've just finished Persona 4. I waded through the three fake endings to get to the real ending. Now I've got to lend it to Miho so that she can squeal over all of the hot guys.
So you're doing Danny quite the favor, right?
Miho maybe.
Is Danny's wife, by the way.
Maybe I'm doing Danny a favor, maybe I'm not. Remember, after the last game that she really liked, Tales of Vesperia, she sent Albert overseas to Winter Comiket with a list of porn that she wanted. And he had to stand there in line with all those fangirls and go, all right, well, no, it was Eric who had to stand in line with all those fangirls. Albert stood in line for my porn, Baldur's Sky. My porn demo. It wasn't actually porn.
I love how these stories are about people sending other people to buy porn for them.
You know what's funny is that it was less embarrassing for Eric to buy the porn than it was for him to buy Egan that earring from Macross Frontier.
What are you talking about?
there's a special earring in Macross Frontier. You know, it's important to the plot. It's special to one of the characters, and they released it as merchandise. And Egan had Eric buy it at the store. And so Eric had to go into a store and say, I'd like this earring, please. And it was more embarrassing to do that than to go, here's the list of porn that my friend back in America wants.
All right. I guess, the porn culture is a lot more lenient in Japan, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm buying jewelry in an anime store.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But yeah, so Persona is finally off of my radar. I'm going to be lending it out, and it'll come back to me eventually. Maybe I'll play New Game Plus. Maybe it'll just go on the shelf.
All right, Chris. You know you've got your list for us.
Yes, my number five is I've been actually reading books that past movies have been based on. So I'm actually reading Solaris, and interesting sci-fi book so far. And I think I don't remember too much from the movie itself, but the book seems a lot more interesting so far. I'm about 60 pages in.
Whoa.
Wow.
Reading books.
Hey, I read books. Sorry. That's actually my number three right now.
Oh, man. So I'm such an illiterate.
What are you talking about? Graphic novels count, too. We can do literature
So. Actually,
I just started reading this.
Have you seen Solaris, though? Like, either one?
I only seen the one with...
George Clooney?
Yeah, George Clooney, Steven Soderbergh one.
All right. Yeah. Definitely cool. Let me know. I want to actually know what the difference is between those two. Actually, that is something I think is really interesting when you do go back and you read the book format and just be like, hey, they forgot Tom Bombadil.
They didn't forget Tom Bombadil. They intentionally left him out because that's it's true. Boring.
100 pages of boring.
All right. Let's move on to your number four, Kevin.
I'll go back to my number four. I have put this game off for so long after diving into it right away, and this is Fallout 3. I'm only halfway through, and it's taking me forever to actually just get back into the game and get on with it. I found the pet dog that is also your companion.
You know, I never actually found that dog. It was hilarious. I never bothered with the dog. I was just a sniper.
I'm so scared of the dog dying. That I pretty much, there was no point in me finding the dog. I would just be like, dude, go home. I don't want you to die out here, because it's so easy.
It is really easy.
All right, Fallout 3, great game. I would say really impressive.
I accidentally shot my follower in the head at least 3 times when I was sniping. It's like, stop getting in the way. I can one-shot these guys. Don't run up there. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with Fallout 3 as well. My number 4 is actually an anime. Who would have thought? I'm watching an anime that's based on a porn game. You know, I'm not going to be very, I'm not going to try and hide that. It's called White Album. It stars...
The Beatles?
No. Sadly, it does not star the Beatles. It stars people in the 80s trying to become idols. And mostly, I really don't care about the story. I'm watching it because the music's really good and because I will do anything in order to hear Mizuki Nana sing. That will come up later in a topic that might involve the word seiyuu or something like that, or singers or whatever. She's just a really good singer. Now, the funny thing is that there's another person in there who's equally as popular as Mizuki Nana, the girl who voiced Haruhi. However, the girl who voiced Haruhi is terrible at this whole singing thing. And so when they previewed her song, that was kind of interesting. And by kind of interesting, I mean I ran from my speakers and didn't come back until it was over.
So you're going to get those same guys knocking at your door.
Yeah,
saying,
I know,
man,
right?
First you bash horse armor.
First I bash horse armor, now you're bashing our Haruhi Suzumiya. I like Haruhi, by the way. I've read the novels. But I just can't stand the girl who voices Haruhi, at least when she sings. I'm fine with her acting. I'm not really fine with her modeling. I should show you that picture where she wears her bikini upside down.
Okay.
Wow.
She's trying to be a model. She's not very good at it. Anyway, Chris, going to your number 4.
My number 4 is I've been actually trying to figure out ways to convert DVDs to movie files such as MP4 or... MKV, because my dad's actually leaving for a business trip to New York, and he's asked me to kind of convert some movies from our library to a playable format.
Please note, we don't actually advocate piracy on this show.
We pretty much only rip our own DVDs anyways, too. Yes. Or you can just come on down to my gigantic library, which is mostly in boxes because I'm going to be moving soon.
Yeah, I want your Blu-ray noir stuff. That'll be fun to watch.
The Third Man is beautiful in high definition.
Oh yeah, I want to see all that wonderful contrast, the lighting, the shadow, the everything. Anyway, all right. So, do you want to finish that 4, or should we move on to Kevin's 3?
Yeah, go ahead, 3.
All right, for my number 3, I've been listening to this album all last week because I commute. I have to take the train and then walk to work. And I usually listen to some music during the walk. And this album's called Jadiohead. It's basically a mashup of Radiohead and Jay-Z. It's really good, actually. I was kind of surprised. I was not expecting anything even like... I was expecting maybe one or two songs would be really listenable, but I actually think the whole thing is very, very good. It's not official. You probably find it at the usual places where you don't find official things. It's pretty cool. Check it out if you like Jay-Z or Radiohead, or if you're just looking for something kind of interesting in between. I was impressed, I gotta say.
So this is Dom, just in case you're not used to my voice yet. My silky smooth bass.
Oh, so silky.
Oh, so sexy Oprah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. No, anyway, my number 3 is I've actually started reading the Chinese classics. I've started with The Water Margin, a.k.a. The Suikoden, and oh my god, there's a saying among the Chinese that the young should never read The Water Margin and the old should never read The Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And I can understand that because The Water Margin is the ball-kickingest, heart-stabbingest, head-cutting-offingest piece of, like, epic fantasy, not fantasy, epic political slash action slash all kind, like, beating up. I mean, okay, here, let me express this to you in a simple scene. There's a guy who joins a monastery because he killed a guy and, you know, he needs to show that he's repenting. He's a really bad monk. He goes out, he sees a guy selling wine, he says, "Sell me some wine." The guy says, "No, I can't sell wine to monks." And he says, "Look, I'll pay." And the guy says, "No, I can't sell wine to monks." And so he says, "Fine." And he kicks the guy in the crotch as hard as he can, makes him drop the wine, drinks it, and goes back to his monastery drunk, where he proceeds to pick up the sacred statues and hit them against the walls. And then he pukes on his meditation pillow. And, oh my God, they let people read this, and it's one of the classics of Chinese literature. But it's really cool.
They advocate ball kicking?
They don't advocate ball kicking, but he's one of the most popular characters, and he kicks balls.
You had me at head-cutting-offingest.
Yeah, ball-kickingest, heart-stabbingest, head-cutting-offingest.
All right, definitely cool. You got something cooler, Chris? Come on, number three.
Well, I've been rewatching Battlestar Galactica Season 3 in preparation for watching Season 4. And
Sadly, I'm not a Battlestar Galactica fan, so I will step out of this conversation.
Good, good show. Even for people like who don't even watch sci-fi that much, the drama alone will draw them in.
Yeah, I actually always think of it more as a drama than a science fiction show.
Absolutely.
I think they totally know where they're headed with their stories. Really interesting. And actually, the thing that I think that's most interesting about this show is that it doesn't really become intensely engaging until, I think, the Pegasus episodes of season 2.
Yeah.
I think the first season is fine, but I always hate that sometimes, too, when a television series is not strong from the beginning. But yeah, coming off of your number 3 of Battlestar Galactica is my number 2 of Battlestar Galactica. So we kind of already talked about that.
I can't avoid this then, can't I?
I cannot wait till later on I can check out the newest episode on Hulu because I missed it on Friday. And, oh man, I'm itching for my Battlestar Galactica.
Damn straight.
All I can say is that Battlestar Galactica, as far as I can tell, is about stupid people doing stupid things and the bad things that happen to them for doing so stupidly. Oh, God.
Dude, you're wrong. You're totally wrong.
Yeah, I totally, yeah.
That's all
Give
right.
Give the show a shot.
Come on, come
I
on.
I gave the show like 3 shots.
Bring me a better number 2.
My number 2 is cooking. I've been learning how to cook. I made cookies and I brought them here. And
they were delicious, by the way.
They were quite good.
I've been working on different curries from around the world. I've been cooking a lot of my mom's recipes, fried tofu with stewed tomatoes or fried tofu and onions, things like that. You know, I'm getting back into a lot of cooking. It's comforting.
Yeah, my number 2, I've been watching some movies lately. I just recently saw Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino. Very good movie.
Get off my lawn!
You guys saw it, right?
I
you know, as much of a huge Clint Eastwood fan as I am, I've just kind of put it off to the side for a while.
I stopped at the trailer because the movie can't possibly be better than Clint Eastwood staring down his shotgun and going, "Get off my lawn!" That was probably the moment of the movies in 2008. Just the defining moment.
I take it you like it. I mean, a lot of people always think of Unforgiven as his swan song to, you know, the Dollars trilogy. Is Gran Torino kind of like the cap to the Dirty Harry movies for him?
You know, it's actually kind of funny. I read on the IMDb trivia page that actually it's not supposed to be linked to the Dirty Harry series at all. It's supposed to be a standalone.
But it is
but
not.
Does
not
it
even
feel
like
a Dirty Harry movie?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I haven't seen any Dirty Harry movies, so I can't compare.
I got all 5 right there. All right. That's fine. I'm going to go to my number 1. We actually talked about this earlier in the episode, and we just finished watching the entire game get completed, and that's Flower on the PlayStation Network. It is a $10 downloadable game for your PlayStation 3, and I got to say, you know, it's not quite a game. It's not quite a nothing. It's kind of just this really interesting, entertaining narrative, and I highly recommend it. I think we can pretty much say it's the new Sonic the Hedgehog game when you get to the last level. Anyways.
Hey, wait. I've got to give a shout out right here to my good friend Vince Diamante, who composed all the music for the game. So, Vince, if you're listening, then this is my plug for you. Vincent Diamante is a wonderful composer, and he should work for you. And if Vince, you're not listening, then screw you.
I actually would love to get an interview with him, because one of the most interesting things about this game is the dynamics of the sound and music. It's, you can just keep flying around forever, not being able to figure out what you're supposed to do, but at least you're kind of enjoying it. The music's really nice. The visuals are very good. I actually don't want to explain what the gameplay really is about or what the story is about, but it's actually, you'll be surprised. I think it's a worthwhile download, even for $10, which does seem kind of pricey.
Vince lives in Southern California, so maybe next time we're down in Southern California, we can stop by and, you know, say hi and shove a microphone in his face.
Yeah, I would actually love to do that. We're doing that pretty much with the Atlas folks as well, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
So we can combine that in the same trip, you know, Atlas, Flower, a few other things.
It's an experience. I actually was playing it just before we started doing the podcast, and it's definitely something to, yeah, don't go into it with any expectations. Just play it. It's really cool.
All right. That's my number one. What's your number one?
My number one is an oldie but goodie. I've gone back to Devil May Cry 4. I've gotten back into it, you know. I mean, and even though I don't like Nero nearly as much as I like Dante, that interview with Johnny Young Bosch has me appreciate a little more, appreciating all the work that went into it. And, you know, I always like grabbing people by the face and throwing them into the ground. So, you know, it's got that visceral pleasure going for me.
That's actually kind of surprising. Didn't the game come out almost exactly a year ago, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I still have yet to play it. I'm still stuck on the spider boss of the very first game.
You know what? Just come over to my place. We'll watch it as a movie, and it'll be fine. It's spectator gaming, which is something I appreciate.
Can you still play the fourth game without having played the first three?
Oh, yeah.
And still understand what's going on with the story?
Pretty much. I mean, there are a few miniature... Okay, here's the thing. Is that the story really doesn't matter. It's all about the style, really.
All right.
But you can go in and understand what's going on, pretty much. I mean, we can basically just tell you from the beginning. It's like, oh, and this guy is what is Dante's brother, and this is what he used to say. And that's the important part.
All right, cool. Come on, Chris. You're capping us off with number one.
Yeah, my number one is I've been playing Bioshock. I know it's an old game now, I guess.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with old games.
Hey, Bioshock is a great game.
Yeah, very awesome story. I think I'm around Arcadia, and it's pretty good. It's got a very engaging storyline. So if you guys haven't played Bioshock at all, you should definitely
play it. There's actually essays out there on the internet about its, you know, piece-by-piece storytelling and how that influences so much. Well, isn't the storytelling system pretty much borrowed from System Shock?
I did feel like I was playing System Shock again, but there are some things that are touched up and renewed, and I mean, even if you've just played System Shock 2, it's still worthwhile to play BioShock. Yeah, but I mean, think about how much of an honor it is to even be compared to System Shock 2.
Well, I don't know if it's an honor being compared to your own game.
I guess,
this is our greatest episode of the S-Words podcast. We haven't made anything this great since the Super Bowl episode. You know, I mean, that I don't know about that.
I think there's a lot of noise in that episode.
That's because I have a habit of talking with my hands and, you know, thumping my hand against the table. That's my fault.
All right, so that's pretty much the five things that's occupying our free time lately. That's been the Stuff segment. Look for a Stuff segment pretty much at the tail end of every single mailbag. I don't think we're ever going to be compiling the mailbag with the actual regular episodes. I think it's pretty much going to be two parts, right?
Yeah, let's just stop doing the regular episode mailbag stuff and shove that off into Stuff.
That pretty much wraps up the Stuff segment and pretty much the episode. I don't know what kind of new, different kind of tradition we want to do with this.
We can just do the quote sound off again.
All right.
I'm good with the quote sound off.
All right. Regular quote sound off. Why don't you lead us off, Dom?
Slam dunk! Chris?
Oh, crap. I'm not sure.
That's your sound off. Go, Kevin.
Dreams don't die.
Behold!
Optic blast!
Ryukyun.
We already used that one.
Oh, damn it.
Don't worry, that's going to go at the end of the music. We always have outtakes.
So we should probably start recording.